Hello and welcome to Arguing the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games.
Indeed.
Although again, this week, we're not. We're arguing about things that matter in films, or at least film trailers, because in this special extra episode of Argue the Toss, we are talking about a couple of trailers that have come out recently. Namely, the new Assassin's Creed trailer and the new final Rogue One trailer.
Oh yeah, it is the final one, isn't it?
It is. That film is coming out very soon.
Yeah, December, isn't it?
December the somethingth. Yeah.
Yep. So, shall we kick off with Rogue One?
I think we should, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. We've done a whole episode on... We did one on the first Rogue One trailer, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, on the teaser.
Yeah, we kind of... we missed out on the second one. Well, I certainly did. Like, until I watched the third one, I hadn't seen the second one. I didn't realise it had come out.
Oh, I didn't see a second one.
No, there's a second one.
Okay. So. I'll have to dig that one out. Oh, I thought this was the second and final one. Oh,
nope,
okay.
Third, apparently. I was quite surprised as well. The second one seemed to come out without much fanfare.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what did you think? Sorry, you got there first.
Actually, I was really excited by the teaser. I thought, you know, this looks gritty and, you know, quite interesting. Okay, you know, it's got Forrest Whitaker in it, which is just awesome. It's got Jet Li, that's cool. And, you know, I quite liked the sort of darkness of it. And then this one left me a bit cold, I have to admit. Mm-hmm. I'm less excited now. Well, I think mainly because it didn't actually show us that much more. There was just more running with palm trees and, you know, there was, you know, the people I've just mentioned, the cast people. Yeah. And what little more we know about the story doesn't really excite me that much. Mm. I find her a bit annoying or just underwritten or just not convincing.
Absolutely.
As this rebel leader.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of covered this on the previous episode, was that we weren't necessarily convinced by her dialogue in that first trailer.
No.
This third one, I'm kind of even less interested because in the first one, I thought some of the lines were a bit silly, a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Star Wars has always had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But in this one, it seemed to have changed her character a little bit. In the first one, it's very sort of overt that she is rebellious and she is, you know, a rogue person. But in this new one, she kind of spent her time making kind of just motivational speeches.
I know. With terrible motivational speeches.
There's no edge to her. There's no...
No.
Yeah, I
think you can hit the nail on the head there, actually.
I'm a lot less interested in her as a character.
And yeah.
I was quite interested in the first one, even though I was a bit sceptical about the film itself. I thought she seemed interesting, but now she kind of just doesn't to me.
No. Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Like, she seemed to be sort of have ambiguous motivations. We didn't know why she was infiltrating and whether she was a double agent or... But now she just seems like a straight up plucked from teenagehood to hero figure.
Yeah.
And not convinced. It's like, really? Why would they send her in? Just because he's her dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to have to do some serious story groundwork to make that one fly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, the things I did like were, I really liked the crumbling Jedi statue in the in the desert.
Yeah, that's
I thought that was a really cool image and, you know, just sort of really kind of sets the scene of where Jedis are at this stage in the Star Wars timeline. You know, they're all but lost, really.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the other things that I didn't like. There's a lot of mention of the Force in the new trailer. The Force is strong. It's one man feel like 100. Like this earlier in the sort of cycle, this film was marketed as not really being connected to the Jedi at all. It was in the Star Wars universe, but Jedi weren't in it. But now there's a lot of talk about the Force, and Darth Vader is there.
That's true.
Yeah, I was more interested in it when it was separated from the main series a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite intrigued to see how they handle Darth Vader. Mm. I mean, I think this is a bit of a tricky thing they're doing with these kind of prequely filling in the gapsy films, because it's almost like lifting the skirts on something we might not actually want to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, A New Hope is, you know, a beloved film, but it's not a perfect story in any, in any way, shape or form.
No.
And, you know, just like trying to fill in all those gaps and things and making whole films out of them might actually make us see the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, and the more you do it, the more detail you add to a character. At a certain point, you hit a huge point of diminishing returns, and it just makes the character worse. And you this is what the prequels were. It was, they took, like, if, I wish the prequels had been better, but as they were, they took this character of Darth Vader and focused in on Anakin himself, and it turned out that that story wasn't particularly interesting. I'm not saying it's terrible, but it wasn't what I was interested in about Darth Vader.
No.
And it just sort of, it detracts from the later work rather than adds to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because the whole thing about Star Wars that was interesting is that it was, you know, part four.
Yeah.
And it's as if you found this hidden volume, this of a story that's lost to time. Yeah. And now they're fleshing out this thing and it's taking the magic of that original one away.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, and this is what prequel to A New Hope. Mm-hmm. So by A New Hope, Darth Vader is like, you know, ultimate evil baddie, swooshing about and doesn't actually do very much. So presumably in this one, he's actually got to do some serious stuff.
Well, maybe so. I have a feeling that maybe he'll just, you
know,
he'll be as much in the film as he is in the trailers. He'll just be the presence who is standing over everything. And I don't know if they'll do a lot of actual specific plot stuff with him.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, the thing about what I love about New Hope and the original trilogy in particular is that they're fantastic stories. The plot itself is not necessarily the thing that you want to pay attention to. It's the story of, you know, this farm boy coming out into space and, you know, traveling into this, you know, new special world and
and the, you know, the characters, isn't it, and how they hang together, the Wookiee, the droids, the princess, the roguish, smuggler, and, you know, the big dark evil wizard or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very sort of, I mean, George Lucas has always gone on about the monomyth and the Joseph Campbell hero's journey, and that's what makes Star Wars so memorable and makes it such a good sort of trilogy.
Yeah.
And filling in the minute plot gaps kind of misses what I like about the original, the way it's told, the way it's structured. I'm just not sure it's a good idea, and that's sort of why I object to what I'm thinking of as the Marvelization of Star Wars, where it's no longer a you know, just a monolithic trilogy, but there's all sorts of in-universe thing being bolted onto it.
Yeah, and the same theories with the Han Solo prequel, I don't know, backstory, origin story, I don't know what they're doing, but so, and the worst line has to go to Forrest Whitaker.
Oh my god,
save the rebellion,
save the dream. What are you doing, Forrest Whitaker? What
I don't know, because I love him so much. He's such a great actor.
Yeah,
I just, oh my god. Please don't let, oh yeah, that's my greatest fear, is that I'll have to die a little just watching Forrest Whitaker deliver these terrible lines.
He doesn't seem like the most fantastic character from what we've seen.
No. Yeah. Oh, God.
There's also that bit that when we were discussing the first one, we were talking about that, this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. Yeah. And we were talking about how that last bit isn't really necessary to the line. And then it comes up again in a different context.
You're rebels, aren't you?
So you've made the same joke, not joke, but made the same point twice.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like, I'm going to sort of hold out as much hope as I can for it, and I'm going to go into it as open-mindedly as I can, because I still love Star Wars no matter what.
Yeah.
But I won't be surprised if I don't enjoy it that much.
No. And it looks I like the visual style of it, the black earth and the sort of, it looks, I don't know if it's that kind of almost they're back on Iceland or wherever it is they filmed that bit with Luke Skywalker at the end of last film. And I like the fact, you know, it's a bit of a contrast with the sort of, we're used to the desert scenes and things in Star Wars. So I quite liked that, and the palm trees and, you know, different kind of vistas.
Yeah.
But so I like the visual style, and they've kind of got that old grungy feel from A New Hope, you know. Large pinch of salt, kind of. Yeah.
I really do have my fingers crossed. I really want that film to be good. I want it to be interesting. I want it to be interesting addition to the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, maybe it's just a crap trailer.
It could be. I mean, until I started doing this podcast, I generally avoided trailers anyway.
Did you?
Yeah, just for that reason, because they
can kind of skew you in the rock, exactly. Be a red herring kind of thing.
The same reason that you avoid spoilers. I don't want to see any of it beforehand. I want to go into the film and
appreciate
it as its own piece.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the trailers that we cover are all for quite sort of geeky things, so it's not necessarily the same thing. But I always think that three trailers is too much to watch before a film.
Yeah, a teaser and one trailer is fine.
I'd scrap the teaser. I'd just have the one trailer and then that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's just a marketing thing. But yeah, I'm happy that it's like Doctor Strange. I watched one trailer and then I didn't watch any more.
Actually, I didn't watch any of those trailers.
But, I mean, that's great because, you know, you got some really nice surprises.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's a really good film.
Yeah. And let's hope Rogue One is anywhere near the heady heights of Doctor Strange.
Yeah. What a strange comparison to make.
Yeah, but there we go. Yeah. So that's Rogue One.
So the other thing is, the other trailer that we've watched is the Assassin's Creed trailer, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing I will say about this trailer is, or about this film, is that it has a fantastic cast. Just unquestionably, Michael Fassbender's in there, Marion Cotillard, Michael K. Williams, and Jeremy Irons.
You read that cast and you're like, wow, this is gonna be good.
If you didn't know the title of the film, you didn't know the background of the film, you think, okay, so this is gonna be some sort of Oscar bait thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's an Oscar bait cast, but I don't think an Oscar bait movie.
No.
It's difficult to judge from the trailer. The trailer is very heavy on combat and visuals and style. Not too heavy on plot or actual sort of atmosphere, I don't think.
No, I mean, that's what I've written in my notes, is basically I just don't get a sense of a story.
No, exactly.
There's just like the odd line, like, I'm beginning to like this.
Yeah, that was a bit goofy.
Yeah. And I mean, second worst line, first one was Forrest Whitaker was welcome to the Spanish Inquisition, which just made me think of Monty Python.
Yeah.
Nobody
is welcome to the Spanish Inquisition.
I was just like, oh my God, someone wrote that and it got through the edits. Like, and then someone delivered it and didn't go, hey, wait a second.
I think I would be more excited for Assassin's Creed if I hadn't played the games and didn't already know that the story of Assassin's Creed basically falls to pieces midway through the trilogy of Assassin's Creed 2 games.
Yeah.
That story is not well told. It's not... every new game seems like a new extension rather than an addition to the story. They're just fumbling for something else, leaving this wide, sprawling mess of background and lore.
Yeah, the whole sort of Eden thingy bob.
Exactly. I'd love it if they could bring that into a film and just prune away all the extraneous bullshit and tell a story that's worth being told in that universe, because it is an interesting universe. The Animus is a really sort of interesting device, but I've got no faith, unfortunately.
No, they should have just told Ezio's story, because he's clearly the coolest assassin.
Absolutely, and
is kind of cinematic and roguish and everything you'd want to watch on a big screen. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that the film seems like a sort of reskin of the original game. So you've got your Desmond character played by Michael Fassbender, only he's called Cal. Got your whoever was played by Kristen Bell in the games. I don't know why they didn't just get Kristen Bell into play in the film as well, because they visually sort of that character in the games is visually designed around Kristen Bell, voiced by Kristen Bell, and for some reason they just didn't think she was good enough for this.
I suppose it's the director is the... Because before the show we were like, why are these people in this film? But then I remember that the director has directed Cotillard and Fassbender in Macbeth, which is fantastic. It's brilliant. I think it's my favourite Macbeth. It's really cool. And he's chosen a really cool setting in time. He set it further back in time than we're used to seeing Macbeth.
Right.
And it visually, he can do a battle scene like nobody else. I mean, it's just fantastic, really beautiful and kind of poignant and misty. And so he's going to do all that stuff really well. And that's obviously they liked working with him. And so they've jumped into this and I hope they work with him again on something better, because I just don't think this is going to be any good.
No, I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to see this at the cinema. I'm going to wait for the DVD to come out and then not buy that.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for it to hit Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
in the 3-star bucket.
It'll be like... you always see the Dead or Alive film and other video game films which were made and just weren't very good. They're always in the back of CEX for 50 pence.
You can find it in the Oxfam bookshop.
Exactly. I'll pick that up when it comes out. That's very mean-spirited of me, but it is.
We're really railing on it now, but it looks pretty bad. Yeah. There's no good dialogue. It's just, oh dear.
Mm.
It's very pretty. It just kind of plays like a live action trailer for an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
It's got that much story in it.
Yes, precisely.
I guess some people will go and see it. I mean, a buzz. I think on Twitter or something, I saw people going, oh my God. And I was just like, you people are crazy. Play Assassin's Creed. Yeah. You'll have more fun.
I'm willing to wait until the reviews come in and see if it's any good. And if it's any good, I'll go and see it. But again, I'm skeptical. More skeptical than I am about Rogue One, even.
Yes, definitely. I think it's going to be another film of a game turkey.
Yeah, there's like I say, this is what I always say. There's never been a good video game film.
No.
And it's never come out. Well, I hear Warcraft is supposed to be actually quite good, but
oh, really?
I haven't seen it. Yeah, it was one of those films that got that just didn't do very well at the box office, and a lot of people didn't think much of it. But I've read opinions from critics I quite respect saying actually this is worth another look. I'm going to watch that at some point, but not today. Yeah.
No. So, that's us then. So, we're just catching up on... This is an extra because there's been lots of stuff kind of coming out in the last couple of weeks. Every day we're like, we have to do a show on that. We have to do that. So,
it's a very sort of dense time for geeks in general, I think.
It is, yeah. So, that's the show.
Yep.
Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of Are You the Toss, and why wouldn't you, you can find us on iTunes. Just search for Are You the Toss. You can also find our RSS feed on our main page at gameindustry.com. If you don't use iTunes and you use another podcast player, that should work fine with it.
We're also on SoundCloud. Look for Are You the Toss. Our host, of course, is gameindustry.com. So you can talk to us via the Twitter page there, which is @GinLounge. can also find us on YouTube. And Game Industry News is also on Facebook, on Google Plus, and all those good social media things. So give us a thumbs up, give us a like, tell us what you like. It's awesome. You're awesome for listening. Thank you so much.
Nailed it.